All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Ticket Stub. We're here, we are back. It has been 2 weeks, and we are in the studio here to talk about some movies. I'm here with my co-hosts, of course. You got Brian over there.
Hello.
Then we got Tyler.
Sup.
Last time I checked, it still was the month of October, which means it's the month of scares, getting spooked, all that good stuff. And yep. So we're still here to talk about the horror movie scene and stuff like that.
A little different take on a horror movie though this time.
Oh yeah. See, the movie we chose to review for this week is, of course, the one, the only, the greatest, Monster Squad.
Gem of the 80s.
Yes. Yes, it was. And here we are. Brian, are you getting some information on the Monster Squad pulled up on
us? I am. Yeah.
Awesome.
There's a lot of random cameos. I brought up last night, one of the main producers in this movie was actually the guy who directed the first Fast and the Furious and Triple X. So it's a little name dropper. I saw Rob Cohen and I thought it clicked and ring a bell, and it did. But yeah, 1987 is when it came out. The runtime was about an hour and 22 minutes, I think.
Oh yeah,
so
nice and
nice
short.
Nice short punch, yep. Yeah.
To the point.
Mm-hmm. I would call it low ball, B movie, probably B budget, definitely low budget.
It was like,
but they did yeah. what they could with it.
Well, it had some interesting effects.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely some. What surprised me was that they did have some effects that definitely looked like computer effects,
mm-hmm.
which for the 80s is definitely kind of surprising. But it is a little bit later of an 80s movie. So
what, 88 was when it came out.
87.
So
when my dad graduated from high school.
Yeah, there you go. I wonder if your dad saw that in theaters.
I'm gonna ask him. I should probably text him right now and ask him, actually.
That would be, I don't know, that'd be interesting to see that you could have seen that movie in theaters. But one thing I would like to bring up first, or get that out there, I think, you know, movies today, we're so desensitized to swearing and violence and everything like that. And yes, I know this was the 80s, but even still, like, this movie had like a lot of swearing in it for an older movie.
Absolutely.
And
found out it actually came out with a PG-13 rating too. So there wasn't anything too bad, but
it was PG-13.
Yeah, there's some.
Well, let's think about the PG-13 just came out like
yeah,
a couple of years before.
PG-13 had not been around for that long.
Yeah, and they were really leaning on stuff. Jaws was PG.
Well, that was Jaws was before PG-13 rating.
Yeah, Jaws was what
existed.
78 or something like that.
Yeah, it was
but
one
like,
of the. It was
still. They're a lot more lenient.
Yeah, yeah, they were. Do you know what the first movie, or what the movie that finally forced the PG-13 rating to become a thing?
What was that?
Gremlins.
Gremlins?
Yes.
I believe that.
I would say this movie kind of had like a Gremlins feel to it.
Yeah.
At least in the special effects category.
Yeah.
In
the back
comedy,
of my mind.
Horror kind of deal.
I've been wondering how many times Brian's going to say 80s cheese.
Yeah, right.
In this comment, and I haven't heard it yet, so I'm just gonna bring it up now so he doesn't say it.
Well, I'll steal it from him. It was pretty cheesy, but it was pretty good. I'm gonna go ahead and tell me if I'm going wrong, but I believe okay. So here's the plot, right? Got a group of young kids having a good old time in the 80s, doing what they do, hanging out in cool treehouse
with a dog.
With a dog.
I think his name is Pete.
And they're the ones who embodied the name of the movie, too. They coined themselves the Monster Squad. So it was a group of little kids who were huge horror movie buffs.
They're having a good time. Everyone is sure to tell them that monsters aren't real. But guess what? Monsters are real, and they're the only ones that can stop them from terribly murdering everybody. That's the thing, is that there is kind of a little bit of a strange disconnect between the monsters and the kids, because the monsters they legitimately are killing people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And everyone but the kids, I guess.
Well, one thing I realized was, like, all the other, like, creatures that were there, like, weren't really evil. Maybe the mummy was.
No, they weren't.
They're
weren't.
All just being controlled by, like,
I
like Dracula.
I was
going to
say, I feel like whoever wrote this movie has a serious vendetta against vampires. I don't know what his deal is. But
no, it was like, I don't know. I really didn't expect it to be like that.
Yeah.
To be honest.
It was cool.
Like, that was a
cool
little thing to have
theme,
in there.
Yeah.
They're like really like wasn't like, called out within the squad.
I don't know what was up with that. It just like ran. But, like ran
hearing the name, I was really hoping it was like Dracula, the Wolfman, Frankenstein, Mummy, and it's like Swamp Thing tropes, going around and like killing other monsters. Like, that's what I was hoping it was. Like the monster squad just like destroying other monsters.
Yeah, it definitely took a different turn.
But like, yeah, it was like. I liked it. I mean, Michael Fassbender looked like he played the Dracula. I don't know what it was.
Who was
him.
That, by the way?
Yeah,
Count Dracula. It looked like Duncan Rager. Name, for sure. Actually, I was saying last night, Frankenstein's monster. It's Tom Noonan. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him. He does a lot of the, dress ups for like big kind of daunting characters because he's like real tall, I guess.
What else did he do?
He I don't know if you've seen. I'm just double checking this real quick. I'm pretty sure he was in. I might be wrong. Yeah, he is. You guys ever seen Hell on Wheels?
Yeah.
He's the preacher. The reverend in that. Yeah, tall, real tall, bald dude. That's how I recognized his name. I knew he was in that. But, yeah, he was in that. See, just a couple other things. He's in The Cape. I don't know if you ever watched that. House of the Devil, which we need to see. It's definitely one that I'm really interested in seeing. Yeah. I mean, other than that, he's in a lot of, like, really low-ball movies. So probably... stuff I've never even really heard of, but I recognize him from Hell on Wheels. But yeah, I mean, Frankenstein. I mean, I'd say that the special effects and the character makeup was it's pretty typical of like the 80s. I think.
Well,
you know,
the Frankenstein
I mean?
Makeup was pretty good.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
For, you know, like a the werewolf. Yeah, like I don't know. He's like half Quasimodo, half like
it was
kind of mixed with like
his makeup was pretty bad. Just being honest.
How about the time when that one character got blown up?
Why? Okay, why is there so much dynamite in a monster movie?
Yeah,
why would it's like we're gonna have 300 sticks of dynamite today? It's gonna be great.
That was like Dracula's go-to weapon of choice was just whipping dynamite everywhere. Like,
yeah, I guess I missed that part of the lore. Yeah.
Bram Stoker added that like when he
was
like,
that a thing?
It.
I didn't even know.
No, it wasn't. I was but like, yeah, I'm not sure.
Fact check.
They just showed up like, and the thing was like the medieval one with like Van Helsing when they were there. He used dynamite to blow. They didn't have dynamite back then.
Maybe they had just gotten dynamite.
Maybe there's like, hey, we came out with a new invention. What is it? Dynamite. Oh my god.
They were like, Dracula was like, I need to get me some.
He's like, yeah, let's go blow up Dracula. Then Dracula saw it and like, you know,
he was like,
I'm
not gonna get blown up. I'm gonna blow them up. That's what I'm gonna do.
I'm gonna use 4 sticks of dynamite to take out this little wall that he earlier broke down with a hammer that was this big.
Yeah,
holding my hands about 2 feet apart. I forgot him.
That is one thing that this movie does well is that while it is a 80s cheese movie, they do have a little bit of a little bit more mindfulness of when something ridiculous happens. They're not very long lasting, but there are implications for what happens. Like you said, at one point, Dracula is trying to blow up this wall, and Brian's sitting over here, being all looking at the movie, and he's like, well, that would really blow up the house.
No, that was Tyler. That was Tyler.
And yeah, Tyler was saying, oh, that would probably blow up the house. Well, guess what? It did blow up the house.
Yeah, stuff started just crashing everywhere. Another thing that I think you brought it up last night. You paralleled the movie to the Goonies.
Yeah.
I think it was the Goonies. And that is honestly, like, it was a great comparison. This movie is like, if you take the Goonies and that central plot with, like, the kids and, you know, they band together and they kind of, it's like you have the feel goods and there's also like the sad, like.
And then Frankenstein was sloth.
Comedy. Yeah, yeah. Everything
Chunk was
exactly,
horse.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
It's called
it definitely
him
paralleled,
fat
for sure.
Messed up.
Yeah. Which it was kind of like a Goonies thrown into a horror setting, which.
Yeah, which is nice.
Yeah,
it
would
have been really
cool
if they would have, like, Sean Astin and them come and do, like, Monster Squad.
Yeah.
You know?
That would have been funny.
That is pretty crazy that the kids in the movie actually, they weren't really that nice to each other. They weren't.
No, they're horrible.
They were friends, I guess, but, like, in the opening scene, that two of the main characters make another one of the main characters. They throw his candy bar on the ground and like.
Well, they were just the bullies.
Yeah,
they weren't like that.
There was one kid that was pretty fat, and they made fun of him for being fat.
Yeah.
The entire
his name
movie.
Was Horace, though. Like,
yeah,
pretty cool.
He was cool. He also wore really
my name
awesome clothes.
Is Horace.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Let's point out that 12-year-old cannot like.
Pump a
shotgun
yeah,
at all.
Like that easily. I think that would have been interesting.
They did, in all honesty, though, they did make it look like he struggled a little bit because like, he did like kind of like lean back and like lean the gun into himself. So maybe it was like a real shotgun. But
Horace was just being Horace. That's
yeah,
it.
Horace was killing it. He did great.
It was. Yeah, it was interesting. The clothing is just so atypical 80s, and I loved it too because we brought it up. The fat kid who I think that they the whole time were kind of putting in like the nerd category. People didn't like him. They threw him in these clothes that in the day and age of the 80s, I feel like were outlandish, and people would have definitely frowned upon those clothes. And yeah, then like today, it's like what's in. It's like the style of like whatever.
Yeah, it's crazy. Look at all the clothing that was used and think yeah, like, wow, I would think about wearing that.
Yeah,
like Adidas.
Sure.
Adidas must have so much jacket, like advertising in this movie.
Adidas and Pepsi.
Pepsi Adidas yeah, and Pepsi was everything.
A lot of shameless plugs for sure.
There's a point where literally someone gets thrown through a wall of Adidas boxes.
Yeah.
Shoe
I forgot
boxes,
about that. That was so random. Where
I
were they?
Like, I know.
Just like a random building, and then there's just like literally hundreds of boxes sitting in the corner.
Yeah, just like an old Adidas warehouse. Just hanging out.
With brand new, top of the line Adidas clothing. One of the main characters wears an Adidas jacket. Definitely would be worth some dollars now.
Oh, yeah, that was a nice jacket.
I just found a movie poster, and the poster has the five, like, monsters on the top, and it says, the boys are back, and this time they're wearing Adidas. Adidas as featured in the Monster Squad.
Oh,
that's, yeah, man. So it was definitely, Adidas was a huge money donator to this movie, I'm sure.
Well, you gotta pay for those special effects somehow.
Yeah, that would explain it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Really would. Why did Adidas back this so hard? I wonder if they regret that. Do you think Adidas like, yeah, we made a mistake.
They're like, we never should have. This movie isn't really as PC anymore.
Yeah, it totally wasn't
that's
PC.
For sure.
They
for sure.
Way too many like, you know, like homophobic like rants were brought up in that movie that were definitely not PC. And what else was there?
And there was also the classic 80s thing that was funny at the time, but looking back, maybe it was a little bit rapey. Maybe just a little bit.
Oh, yeah, the picture.
And what about, like, he's not an old, scary man. He's just on welfare.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
He's just on welfare.
So, yeah. I mean,
like, what?
I think that, you know, we have become so politically conscious that, like, stuff like that is sticking out nowadays. But realistically, in a movie, in a fictional story, in a pretty funny setting, like, I feel like that's pretty funny. I mean, the way that we talk to each other day to day, like, it might fall along the lines of something like that. But in movies and TV nowadays, you never see stuff like that anymore.
Yeah, you can't.
And it was almost like a nice fresh breath of air just seeing that in that movie. I don't know. I enjoyed it.
I liked a little bit of, like, you know, inappropriateness.
Yeah, you like it really brought chuckles. Like, we were all, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because we're not used to that anymore.
No.
Like the new South Park episode said, like, the first one of this new season, where it says, like, everyone's going PC now.
This whole season has been, like, just totally just destroying that whole idea.
Last time it lasted about 6 years, so we got about 5.9 years to go.
Yeah.
Unless really you watch Monster Squad, then they just blow that out of the water.
All right. Well, I would say I kind of just want to talk about how we feel about the movie as a whole, really. I got to say, I really don't know. We didn't talk too much about our overall feelings, but I really enjoy this movie, and I'm thinking this is going to be a movie that I might, you know, bust out around this time, show people that haven't seen it, and, you know, just put it on even with people that have seen it. I think this movie is really that kind of quality, that it was fun from start to end, and I never really wanted to stop watching. Obviously, I didn't want to stop watching, but I don't know, it never really hit a slow part.
Mm-hmm.
It never really stopped being fun.
It's only an hour and 22 minutes
long. I was just about
to
say that. We knew for a fact that it was going to be a quick punch in the gut because of the fact that the runtime was only an hour and 22 minutes.
It was either that or that Eddie Murphy vampire movie.
I still want to see that, too.
Which was directed by Wes Craven. So, Vampire in Brooklyn. Yeah, right.
With Eddie Murphy. And was Steve Buscemi also in that movie?
No,
or?
Steve Buscemi was in the Tales from the Crypt movie. Was that what he was in?
Possibly. Actually, I think it was that, actually.
Yeah, it was Tales from the Crypt. That was the other
Maybe.
One we were going to watch.
I can't remember.
Bunch of great 80s movies and late 90s movies we were about to watch. They were awesome.
Yeah. Oh, man. Apparently, there was supposed to be a reboot of the Monster Squad, and it got tanked not too long ago, actually.
No, boo.
Yeah. Bummer.
I don't know if they could really make that movie again.
Nah.
And it have the same kind of feel.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like if they were going to remake The Goonies. Which they probably have something in the works. I could almost g- guarantee this.
See, everyone hates remakes, but I love remakes. I would love to see a Back to the Future remake. I mean, it's gonna suck, but like I'd like to see it. I think
they're remaking Star Wars. They can remake anything really, because it's probably the biggest film franchise of all time in the United States.
They're not remaking it.
Yeah, they're just making a sequel.
It's a reboot. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Adding on,
yeah,
Brian.
I guess you're right.
Do your homework.
It's entirely new content.
I don't know why.
Like, speaking of that, like, my dad did text me I think it was Tuesday morning, and said, "Hey, you see a new Star Wars trailer?" And I was like, "Yeah, it looked awesome." He goes, "Yeah, it does look cool." I was like, "We should see it the first day it comes out." He goes, "Already getting your mom to buy tickets." So my dad's all on board for Star Wars. We'll see how that works out. Christmas Day, guys. Be prepared. But anyway, Monster Squad. Overall, like, I liked it a lot. Like, I kind of went into it knowing it was going to be, like, kind of like a subpar movie, you know. But, like, it really did, like, I don't know, kind of made me, like, swallow my words a little bit, because it was a good time. I really liked watching it. Like, it was fun. It was, like, you know, a lot of, like, off-color comedy was in it, which I really liked. Like, the way they introduced the characters was cool. That Stephen King rule shirt, I don't know where he got that or who made that, cool. But I want one, because that was awesome. And then you had that, the greaser kid in the 80s. Who wore everything that was a little too tight and smoked like Marlboro Reds.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
It was such a...
There was some quality. Kids smoking cigarettes.
Yep, such a stereotypical movie. Like, all the characters were straight out of the 80s. he just walked up and stole that bow and arrow. He just, like, you know, came up, looked around, and was like,
still think my favorite part of the movie was never... They, like, ended up getting in the house, and the one quote that stuck with me was, kick him in the nards.
The werewolves like, have nards? Well, yeah, kick him in the nards.
And that only, that part where the kid was like, "I'm the leader," and he, right at that part where he told him to kick him in the nards, that never got brought up again, that he was the leader. It was only right then.
Yeah.
It was only... that it made
what about
any
the part
difference?
With the they went to see that the scary German dude? He's like, "Yo, scary German dude's bitching."
Oh yeah,
time is running out. Poor pie, there's only two slices left.
Man, he kind of gave off a weird vibe too. Like, don't know, he was too touchy for a kids movie.
Strange
like,
dude.
Yeah, always offering kids pie. I don't know. And, like, can we talk about that Holocaust reference they made?
Oh, my God.
I
forgot
so
all about that.
So there's a scene. They're the kids are leaving the scary German guy's house. And they're, like, and, like, fat kid Horace is, like, you know a lot about monsters. He's, like, "I guess I do." And he closes the door. And his sleeve rolls up a little bit. And his number pops up on his wrist. And you're, like, "Oh, my God, he was in the Holocaust."
Yeah.
And it was just, like, wow, this movie just took a, like, really dark turn.
Oh, for sure.
Like, it was just, like, I don't even know. They were just, like, "Hey, we're gonna pause the movie, let you know the Holocaust was real." Like,
we're gonna take a moment to remind you how crappy the Nazis were.
Just completely out of the blue. I mean, I guess the trickle down on communism and everything like that.
Yeah, well, I guess it was like
it doesn't really play into the fact that the Nazi regime has been gone for
the Cold War was just ending now, and like you know,
so.
Like the Berlin Wall just came down, so like
wild. That's true, I guess.
So like, I guess like that had something to do with it.
That's so funny. Yeah.
But still,
I was like trying to justify. I was like, yeah, maybe it was just like the monsters got him or something.
The monsters got him. There's no way he was in he was in a concentration camp.
And it was they it was like a play on words too. It was a pun, like, because he was talking like, "Yeah, I guess I do know what monsters are like," and you. Got to put two and two together there.
That was the realest part of that movie. Like, I don't know, like, what happened after that, because I sat there for, like, 15 minutes, and I was like, oh, my God. They just, like, this brought so much to light right there. And, like, probably, like, all the kids that watched that movie had no idea what happened. But, like, you know, their parents in the theater going, oh, my God.
Like, yeah.
They were probably thinking, like, oh, those are some monster symbols right there. And no.
Yeah.
Well, they technically are monster symbols, I guess.
Well, yeah, I guess. Okay. So, do you guys want to get onto ratings for Monster Squad?
Sure.
Does anyone have any closing thoughts before we bring it on home? Brian, let's go with you. You start us out this time.
Well, I mean, you know, this doesn't really fall into the realm of scare your pants off in any way, shape, or form.
I beg to differ.
80s cheese ball, you know, just like off the wall comedy horror mashup. So, I enjoyed it. It was quick punch, hour and 22 minutes. Nice to sit down if you don't have too much time. Just have some fun. I'm going to go ahead and give it, I'll probably give it one and a half thumbs. So that's where I'm at.
I'm going to give this two thumbs. Because, I don't know, I feel like you watch Monster Squad any time of the year, and it'd be awesome. Like, you know, you're just bored, you're feeling down. What are you going to do? You're going to watch Monster Squad because it's hilarious, and it makes you feel good. Like, kids can take on the whole group of monsters. That's a great, storyline. That's good for all ages. And, like, it's off-color comedy. You can't say no to that. So, yeah, two thumbs up for me. I really liked it.
I'm going to go ahead and say I'll also give this two thumbs. I think it really is kind of it's a diamond in the rough. Not as many people know about it, and I think it's a movie that deserves to be played. It hits all the right moments. It scratches all the right itches, and gets done. You know, let's get on with your day. It's a good movie to show during Halloween, like you said, Tyler. It's a good movie to show anywhere. So, you know, I think it makes it into that two thumbs up for me. And I guess with that, that'll do it for us. Yeah, I wash my one hand right now.
I wash both of mine for you, Remy. I got it.
Thanks, Tyler.
No and problem,
man. That's done. That's done for us for right now. That was the Monster Squad. Thank you quite a bit. Now, Tyler, I believe you did mention something that I would like to bring up, at least briefly. Yes. There was.
So Monday Night Football last week. I believe it was Eagles. Giants. They released the new 88-second trailer for Star Wars, which crashed the internet. And it was the second theatrical trailer?
I don't know if the trailer crashed the internet. I know for the fact that ticket sales crashed the internet because they simultaneously released the trailer and also opened up pre-order sales.
Well, Star Wars broke the internet is what they're saying.
Yeah, Star Wars did break the
internet. Like, I saw a meme that said, like, it was Avengers, and they said, we made $162 million opening weekend. And then Jurassic World was like, we made $210 million opening weekend. And then it was Han Solo and said, we broke the internet with an 88-second trailer.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that's great. But, like, I don't know. The new trailer shows the villain. They show him talking. I forget what's his name. Kylo Ren?
I intentionally avoided the trailer. I didn't watch it.
Why not? It's incredible. They have that trailer. I don't know if you guys saw.
They gave nothing away.
Yeah, there's nothing. Like, but like one big thing about this, like if you guys been on like social media or anything, is the racist banning and like boycotting the Star Wars movie because one of the main characters is of African American descent. And
yeah, it's Mace Windu's nephew.
Yeah, which makes no sense because what was his name? Who's the black guy in the first Star Wars movie? He's an Empire Strikes
Lando
Back.
Carlos.
Yeah, Lando.
Lando, yeah. Lando was in, like, that makes no sense. Everyone that watched it then, they're like, there was an African-American character
Wait. It might actually be his nephew.
That would make
I'm gonna
a
have
lot
a fact check. Yeah, there needs to be a fact check on that.
I didn't look up anything on this movie yet. I don't want to. I'm going to let J.J. Abrams blow my mind like he does with every movie because I hate Star Trek, and I watch those, and I like them.
Well, to be fair, I mean, Mace Windu's actually older than Lando is, if you think about it, because the prequels, I mean, they're newer,
and Mace Windu's
the timeline
dead.
Is way older. Yeah, but I mean, like, it would make more sense for him to be like generational of Windu, I guess.
I don't think
Especially
he's a Jedi though.
He is.
I think he's a. He is.
Yeah. Did you not watch the trailer?
He's a Jedi. I thought the girl was the Jedi.
He like whips out of nowhere with the blue lightsaber.
He
right
did
in the
that
middle
was
of the trailer.
Him?
Yeah.
I can see that.
Oh, yeah, that's the one thing. That was really the only indicator in the movie. I think that was like a big plot blow up. Luke didn't show up. He popped out with, that was the one thing that I was like, whoa, because he popped out with the blue lightsaber, which wasn't purple, so.
Thank God.
Yeah, no, it sucks. I love the purple lightsaber. I think it's awesome. But that was the one thing about this movie I did like. The visuals are absolutely gorgeous.
Yes.
Stunningly gorgeous. I can't even begin to explain how good this movie looks. Like, it's literally wild. But we got to see Han was in there. He popped in for a minute.
Chewie was in there.
Chewie showed up.
Leia was in there a little bit. They showed
did
like
she,
one
did
glimpse.
She pop up?
Yeah,
okay,
a glimpse
okay,
of Leia.
Yeah, I think you're right. And then I think the only thing that Kylo Ren or whatever his name is, he's definitely out for vengeance for
and
the
like,
death of Darth Vader. So we don't know if it's a personal tie, if he's just like a vendetta who like you know is like a cult follower.
See,
or
I watched the trailer a couple times. I've watched it like twice now, and. Like, we were sitting there, and my roommate, Sean Curtis, he was like, what if Luke is Kylo Ren now? And I was like, what? And I was like, that doesn't make any sense. But, like, they didn't show Luke in the trailer. Now I'm just, like, scared. Luke went to the dark side.
Kylo Ren, like, has a there's a dude. Like, he's already casted as him. Okay. Yeah, Adam Driver. Cool. I don't know if you knew who Adam Driver is.
That would suck.
He's already okay, he's young. He's not.
But, like, they kind of went, like, super Vader-esque with him, too, which I don't know if I like.
No, they did. That was one thing that they kind of sold out with the
voice. A little bit. Mm-hmm. It's like, I mean, it's different. It definitely is, but it's not different enough to where it's like, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a completely new character. Yeah. It's like, oh, no, that's Darth Vader with a tri-saber.
He's different enough, and then he also, I think they're playing into that whole, he's such a devoted, like, Darth Vader follower fan that it kind of makes sense as to why he would make his persona and his, I guess, the way that he
his appearance
makes himself, yeah, like he would be kind of one.
Another thing, like, he was such a fascist kind of, like, dictator look, because you saw, like, they had, like, that one shot with all the flags. Mm-hmm. And, like, the beams and stuff and the huge staircase.
Sick.
Nazi-esque.
Like, oh, yeah. It looks so incredible. Cool, though.
That looked amazing. Yeah. And all the stormtroopers. A new stormtrooper helmet is crazy looking.
Yeah,
it's
pretty cool.
It's so seamless and, like, the streamlined and simple. Mm-hmm. It's like a minimalistic stormtrooper. Like, I can go on for hours about this trailer because I just love it. But
yeah.
I don't know. I'm just super
definitely
excited.
If you haven't seen it, I recommend at least giving it a gander.
The only reason why I haven't watched it was, in my mind, was... Yes, I did have concerns about having stuff spoiled for me, and while, yeah, you guys just said, no, it's fine, like, I believe you guys and all that, like, but at the same time, guys, I'm gonna watch Star Wars.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
see
that movie.
No, for sure.
Whether or not I watch that trailer, I will definitely see it probably more than once in theaters.
You're right.
I'm definitely gonna see it the day it comes out. I'm probably gonna see it with you guys when we come back, and I'll probably see it every $5 movie night until it goes out theaters.
You won't be able to watch that movie in $5 movie night for a long time.
Yeah, it's going to be in their IMAX theater.
They will definitely keep it
I definitely think that we should go out of our way and watch it in IMAX.
Oh, yeah. We need to see it.
I will spend $16. The last movie I saw in IMAX was Ant-Man. It was incredible. I will watch Star Wars in IMAX.
The last one I saw was Guardians. But, like, honestly, I mean, for the amount of years that it's passed since the good Star Wars were out, it's just like... To think of seeing that movie in that ridiculous technological advancement that we have that we know as IMAX, it's going to be ridiculous, man.
See,
so much money has been dumped into that movie.
We've never had a quality Star Wars film, unless you count, like, Revenge of the Sith, which is, like, arguably the best one out of the new trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
Even though it's not that good. Hayden Christensen's horrible.
They're all bad.
Yeah, he was the biggest downfall.
All not good.
But, like...
Well, I wouldn't call them bad, but they're just... They don't live nearly up to the expectations of the first one.
Yes, they are bad.
They are bad.
I didn't want to have to bring this up. But I'm doing it, and here's my piece. Here's why Star Wars, the prequels aren't just bad. You can't. They're sacrilege. They're a sin, because it is not that they are just bad. It is that they undo and ruin and overcomplicate things about the original movies, and that's not good. The Force in the first movies was this obscure idea of, like, you
energy
can move stuff.
Like,
yeah, some
it was like a religion thing, and then they were like, science, midichlorian counts.
Exactly. Like, and, like, the stormtroopers just seemed like normal guys, like, just for the working for the Empire. But then it was like, no, they're these clones from this facility left over from this war. And it's like, I don't know, that just makes it... That makes it not as special.
This prequel trilogy, if they wanted to do anything, they should have made all three Clone Wars and just went off with that, because that would have been awesome. Like, it wouldn't touch like, you know, the first three movies at all. It would have, like, you know, created a nice backstory for us, and we would have learned a little bit more about stuff. Maybe seen how Vader became, but, like, besides that, really, like, we really didn't need anything else. I mean, I don't know. Like, the first Phantom Menace, they killed off Darth Maul way too quick. And, like, in the worst way possible.
Yeah.
So, like, that sucked for Star Wars.
He was sick, though.
The second one?
I hate to say it. Like, he's so sick.
Oh, the guy who played Darth Maul played Snake Eyes in the G.I. Joe movies, too. He's, like, a trained, like, swordsmith.
That's pretty cool.
Like, he's, like, a dancer, too. He's a pretty cool guy.
Yeah.
He's huge. He's massive. Like,
is he?
He's muscular as hell. Cool. But, like, what else was I going to say? Qui-Gon Jinn was cool. Kinda. I mean,
Masons.
Yeah, like, I mean, I guess he was okay.
I love him.
Ewan McGregor was the best part of those movies, if not Natalie Portman, because, well, it's Natalie Portman.
Yeah, true. I don't know. I mean, I just, quite frankly, they weren't.
They weren't good, but like the thing
I
is,
need to go back and watch the originals.
We grew up with them, so like we have to like acknowledge them.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like,
when I was young, I watched those movies
all the
time.
I loved them.
I got the episode 3 game in anticipation for it coming out.
Like, yeah. I got Lego Star Wars all day every day,
mm-hmm.
which was awesome. And like, I remember when I was like 6, me and my friend Muzz, he had like all like the original 3 on a VHS, and we just sit there and watch Star Wars all
day. That's obviously actually the me and my buddies grew up, and my buddy had the new prequels, and it was just it's really funny because like that was like he was so obsessed with them, and I eventually got to the point like he would watch them every time we hung out, and I got to the point where I was like I can't keep watching these movies. And that put a bad taste in my mouth already from whenever I liked them a lot when I first came out because I was young and I thought they were cool. They look cool. You don't really think about them much. And then like I started hating them just because he would literally watch them every single time like I went to his house. And then once I grew up, I'd realize they were kind of trashy anyway. So they were already tainted from my childhood. And then I found out they were. I don't know.
We're around the bush on like a big topic though. What if the new movie sucks? What are we going to do?
Yeah, okay.
What if J.J. Abrams butchers what is the great, like, you know, like, establishment of Star Wars and, like, it's the worst thing we've ever seen? Like, the trailers might look cool, but, like, what if it's horrible? What if, like, there's too many solar flares and lens flares?
Just
or,
saying.
Like,
when The Phantom Menace dropped its first trailers and when Phantom Menace first went on pre-sales,
they look
the
cool.
Same exact hype.
Everyone
to the magnitude
think it
that's happening today. The same exact hype happened for those ones. So I'm just saying, you know, it's definitely it's already tried it once. So let's just hope that it'll
be able
to
and
pick
like,
up from where.
I don't know. What if there's like a Jar Jar character in this? What are we gonna do? Like, I don't know. Like JJ, I mean, I have faith in them. Like, you know, like I believe in JJ Abrams. But man, like, you know, even great like directors make bad movies every now and then. You know, like The Dark Knight Rises wasn't that good, and Christopher Nolan's amazing. But like,
here is a.
I don't know. I'm like skeptical about it.
Here is my fear. I do not believe in my heart of hearts that it will be bad. But what I am concerned about is what if it's just okay? What if we go and see the movie and it's exciting at the time, it's all we love the action and the story's pretty neat, you know, there's nothing wrong with it, and then we go home and we just live our lives, and then somewhere down the line we're 35 and we're like, do I want to watch that new Star Wars movie? Nah, not really.
Nah.
And then, you know, what if it suffers from like Avengers syndrome, kinda like it's really good at the time, but then afterwards you're like, eh. That's what I'm scared of.
Yeah, I'm afraid of that too. I'm also afraid of like them just doing it for a money ploy because it is Disney. And like I'm afraid they're gonna come out with like 6 different like sequels and like, you know, like prequels
are.
Off of this.
They probably
but like
are.
The way Disney's going with Marvel and stuff, I mean, Avengers sucks. Let's be honest. I don't know if you guys saw Age of Ultron. It was horrible.
I would not call it horrible in any way, shape, or form.
I hated Age of Ultron.
I did not hate
it.
I enjoyed
it. Worst
I thought it was fun.
Marvel movie.
It was a fun summer blockbuster. I wouldn't call it a great movie, but Marvel's worst is still better than the majority of movies that come out.
You have a good point there, but
that
I hated it.
Correct.
And like I'm just afraid that it's gonna get like Michael Bayanized, and like there's gonna make
Hasbro.
Let's make a bunch of Star Wars toys.
No way.
Like
they've already done that.
Oh well, yeah. I'm not gonna lie. I did think a lot about buying that 3 foot tall Darth Vader battle buddy.
Dude, that's
it's $100, and I was like really thinking about it. Me and Marquise were pretty close.
That stuff's inevitable, but I don't know. I mean, Disney. I think Disney has put its footprint in our life and in the lives of many people, and I think that. Overall, Disney does good stuff. I think that most of the time that they hit the mark, and if they miss, it's not by too much. So, I mean, I have faith. Initially, I thought it was going to suck when I heard it was coming out under Disney's moniker. I was like, there's no way they're going to live up to
Lucas,
the originals. But
George Lucas is like a creative consultant for J.J. Abrams, which is nice.
No doubt. Like that, they wouldn't ever even think of making a new Star Wars not having Lucas being like in the room constantly. I feel like, you know what I mean. He's definitely there a lot,
but
he's
not a main driving force, which is
like,
good.
I feel like he's like the Stan Lee of like the Star Wars
universe. Yeah, for sure. That's
because he sits
there
and like you know Stan Lee just says some dumb stuff, like in the background is like, we should make the Hulk purple now. And like, you know, Josh Whedon's like, yeah, Stan, yeah, sounds like a great idea. It's like, yo, get him out of here. Like,
when are we shooting his cameo already?
It's time for his nap.
Don't you taint the legacy of the oldest living superhero that we know.
But, you know, I feel like it's that way with J.J. Abrams. And George is like, we need an army of Jar Jars. And J.J. is like, that's great, man. We're definitely going to write that in. And they're like, yo, get George out of here. please.
Can George go to lunch?
Yeah, like, forever? But
yeah, no. I mean, he definitely lost his footing.
Yeah, he did. Know, he definitely did. I feel like, I don't know, Indiana Jones and stuff, he was doing great. You know, that whole thing. Him, when he got with Spielberg, obviously, he did good.
But like, I think it is my understanding that George Lucas was a good director, but he was good because he had people around him that were nervous that if what was going to come out was good or not. So they would limit him. They would tell him no. But once he became so big, he just had all these ideas, and everyone was like, yeah, great job. Yeah, George. Yeah, we love that idea.
Jar Jar's a great idea,
George. I don't know if you guys knew this, but of the original three, Lucas only directed one of them.
Yeah, that is true.
He only directed A New Hope. The other two were actually helmed by two other people, which that in and of itself is, I think, indicative of, like, he can still be that driving force outside of the direction and still have the movie, you know, be successful. But I don't know. I mean, I think that J.J. Abrams also makes great movies. I mean, the new Star Treks are freaking awesome. So that has anything – that shows that his rebooting skills, at least, or, like, his – taking a new take on an old thing, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously they're just moving along with the story, but it's a new age. I mean, it's a different Star Wars. It's a different age. It's a different. There's no longer like the big wars going on back then. You know what I mean? It seems like it's almost a dictatorish, like the Empire's the one who's in charge.
What I'm so curious about is how did they get like peace and like again destroy the Empire, and now everything's just like
Empire just came right back. I mean, I don't.
Well, at the end of the third movie, it's not like the Empire got destroyed.
Yeah, they're just partying with.
Yeah, they
parted ways.
They just averted having another Death Star. That's all they did.
You realize that they're making another one, right?
What?
You didn't notice, like, in the posters and stuff? There's a Death Star in the poster.
There definitely is another Death Star. I don't know, but I hope it's, like, remember how, like, the second Death Star was, like, two times bigger than the original Death Star? I hope this one's, like, four times bigger.
Well, here's the thing. Someone pointed this out. If you look at the poster, they show the Death Star, and the Death Star is like, so like Luke goes in, he finds the one little narrow passage to, you know, drop in and destroy the Death Star. Someone pointed out that the passage on the new one is like four times as wide and like twice as deep, so now they're going to have plenty more room to be able to like fly up, you know, like an X-Wing or whatever the heck they're going to be using at the
Millennium
time
Falcon
to get in and just like destroy it, yeah. I mean, the Millennium Falcon's crashed though.
It is? I thought they were.
Yeah, you didn't see that?
Were they flying it in the trailer?
Yeah,
were they?
They were.
The Millennium Falcon is going to fly.
No, I think it might have been a new one because that was the very start of that trailer. The Millennium Falcon was sitting underneath like sand and just like.
But like the first trailer, it ended with the amazing Star Wars music and the Millennium Falcon soaring across the sky and diving. Yeah, so like it could. I mean, that could be like an early shot in the movie, and that the Falcon does crash.
Yeah, maybe.
Or like maybe it's like, you know what it probably is, that the Falcon's down. You know, Han and Chewie are chilling, and then, you know, they're like, oh no, Kylo Ren's coming around. Then that guy who's Lando's like nephew comes up. He's like, yo, we need your help.
Yeah.
And then like
John Boyega.
Bang. Is that his name?
Yeah.
What's his name in the movie?
I'm gonna look that up. It still says that's not right. Get out of town.
I'm so excited for this movie though. I've like most anticipated movie of my life so far.
Wow, Tyler.
The Force Awakens.
I'm putting that down in quotes, and definitely when we get back here, I'm going to say, so, Tyler, how is the most anticipated movie of your life?
And I hope I can start, like, bursting out in tears and tell you it was amazing. Hopefully I don't have anything bad to say about it.
I hope so, too. I hope so, too, Tyler.
That's all I want out of life right now is Star Wars to be good. I mean,
The bill is just unbelievable.
Well, it's Disney, so they have a huge amount of advertising.
I mean, not the bill, like the casting bill.
Oh, at least the bill.
There's just so many awesome people in this movie. It's like unreal.
Well, isn't Simon Pegg in this movie?
Yeah.
Simon Pegg's in everything J.J. Abrams does because they just like get along.
Yeah, he was in Star Trek. What the heck?
He was Scotty.
His name's Finn.
His name's Finn in this?
Finn. Yeah. No. Pegg, the John Boyega.
Oh, okay.
The African-American Star Trooper.
I don't know if you guys saw like the behind the scenes trailers for Star Wars, but there's a couple and Simon Pegg's in them, and he's in like one of the costumes, And he's like, I'm so excited to be in Star Wars. Like, I don't even know how they let me on here. You know, he's talking about it, which is going to be great because he's a great comic relief. So that means, you know, it's going to be a little bit of that in this movie. He's probably going to be a huge role, but he's going to be big enough.
Guys, I would love to keep talking about Star Wars. Believe me.
I'm sorry.
Believe me.
I can't stop talking about
it. But, yeah, we have a box office, and we got to look at it.
It's so awesome right now. There's so many awesome movies out. I just can't even wrap my head around it.
First up, you guys, just wanted you all to know, just so you're assured in your lives, Inside Out is at the number 19 spot right now.
Still.
I didn't even see that yet. Is it good?
I saw it. It was kind of disappointing.
Really?
Yeah. It was just definitely a kid's movie and really not that complicated. Not that many really complex emotional strings getting pulled. And I felt like kind of you knew where the movie was going the second you saw it. The second it got laid out, you were like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then that was it.
That's fair.
Also, I will say I don't really like that kind of animation style all that much.
What, Pixar's?
Yeah.
Really?
The way it has advanced right now, it is not... I don't know. It's not my favorite. Like, I definitely like the look of Toy Story. And
I feel like the theme of Inside Out, like, the way that, like, even with the trailer and stuff, was, like, really, like, flat planes of color and, like, not a lot of shadowing and stuff. Like, it was, like,
no, that's the way it was laid out. There's no way.
It looked like it was a simpler version. They went, like, differently with their animation.
If you could say one thing about the movie, was it not at least, like, intricately animated to the point that, like...
Oh yeah. Like, animation's good.
That's Pixar.
I
feel like they went with, like, a different style than they usually do. Because Pixar is trying different things. They're going with, like, a Day of the Dead style. Like, they're gonna change up their animation style a little bit.
They have to.
And I'm not even saying it was a bad movie. I'm not. But I'm just saying it's not a Pixar classic.
Yeah.
It's not Toy Story.
For sure.
Though we will probably eventually see a bunch of kids that have a super nostalgia trip because of that movie. Like, there'll be merchandise for them when they're 15 and stuff. Oh, I believe it.
Yeah.
But that's we're not here to talk about. We're not here to talk about Inside Out. Sitting at number 19, having made $350 million.
that's horrible. That's like nothing.
Yeah.
They probably didn't even come clear to clearing their budget.
Oh, no. They doubled it. Okay. Just missing the top 10 is Steve Jobs.
What? That's missing just that?
That came out already?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I didn't think that came out yet either.
It might be limited release right now.
I think it is limited release.
Yeah, because it's up from where it was previous. It was last week it was 26. This week it's 11.
Wow, that movie's going to blow up.
Who directed this movie?
Danny Boyle?
Yeah,
you know who wrote it? The same dude who wrote the
Social Network.
So I have high expectations for that
one. Chet Reznor doing the music too? Because he did that for Social Network. That'd be great.
What's next?
Number 10, Maze Runner, The Scorched Trials.
I heard that was awesome.
I still need to see the first one.
Yeah.
Guys, I have this Plex account my friend gave me that has 2,500 movies on it, and like
put it on there. We should watch it.
Yeah, we need to explore it.
And it's like you can look through it now if you want. But like, yeah, they're on there. We can watch them whenever you want.
All right. Number 9 is Woodlawn.
Yeah, pass. I heard it's a great movie. Sean Astin is in it, so that's pretty cool. But it's just not up.
I never even heard of this.
Yeah, I don't even know what this movie is.
The basis of it is sports.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
It's back in the 70s, 80s. A couple of characters, hardly discriminated because they're black, and he ends up becoming like the next big star on the team. So,
Is this movie the one about how...
It's Woodlawn High. It's actually real.
They all like become religious and stuff. And
I think so.
Yeah, I think that might be one of those like... religious core movies like
really?
Heaven is for real. I think God's it might be dead. Yeah, one of those. I think it might be because I don't know, I was catching from it, just reading up on it. All I know is one time when I pulled my aux cord out in my car, it happened to be on like a religious station. And I listened to it for 5 minutes while I messed with my cord, and they were talking about a movie like that, a movie about football players and everyone using religion to overcome their racism, And that seems like...
Yeah, you're right. I see. Sure, it's an evangelical Remember the Titans. That's one of the reviews. So, yeah, definitely.
Oh, great.
Definitely religious.
So, you know, if you're into that, maybe that's your thing.
Hey,
maybe,
man, it's getting hella ratings. Yeah. It's at 92% right now on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay. But
can't argue the rating.
No.
Following that, at number 8 is Sicario.
I still need to see it. I'm so mad I haven't seen it, man. It looks so good.
$5 movie night, guys.
I know. It looks so good. It's just right now, it's hard for me to justify seeing it for $5 whenever I'd rather go see a horror movie in October, which I haven't even gone to see a horror movie, so. But, you know.
And it has made back its money, it looks like. It's made $34 million. As of right now, and its budget was $30 million. So
wow, that's really low ball.
Yeah,
that's really low ball. They have Benicio's in there, Emily Blunt. I'm pretty sure Josh Brolin. They have a lot of big names. I'm surprised that was so cheap for a budget.
Probably not a lot of effects.
Yeah, probably. It's definitely like pretty serious and real life ish, I guess. So they can get away with not using crazy explosions and stuff.
Number 7 is The Intern, which. You know, I don't think anyone here has any interest in
seeing comment
at all.
I mean, I don't know. My parents had it on one night, and it was like in my living room. I might sit down and see what it's about, but I wouldn't go out of my way to watch it.
Yeah, exactly. Number 6 is Pan.
I can't believe the movie tanks that bad.
I can. I can 100%.
It's man.
Number 6 down from 3 last week, and total gross is $25 million.
What was the budget? Had to have been ridiculous.
They're on their way to making their $150 million back.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Oh, ow. And I bet the budget usually doesn't include.
Hugh Jackman's in that movie. Poor Hugh Jackman.
It just looked, the second I saw it, I thought that movie is going to be bad. And I don't think I was wrong. It just looked so generic. It just looked like they were like, Peter Pan and
Captain Hook team up.
Yeah.
Peter Pan.
Take on Wolverine.
It definitely did look pretty generic, I guess. Yeah, I guess I can see why it tanked.
I thought it looked kind of cool. I'm just like, I really like Peter Pan. I don't know. He's like my favorite.
Which is why you shouldn't like this movie, because I think they're just abusing him. They're
I know they are, but like I just want more. Like, I don't know. That's my thing. Like, I just want more of that stuff I had when I was a kid.
They
know, and they're gonna pull my heartstrings and make me pay $11 to see it, but I'm not going to.
Well, I'm sure the movie would appreciate if you paid them something closer to the tune of $125 million to see.
Yeah,
their movie.
I had $125 million, I'd think about paying them. Probably not.
Or you'd give up some awesome charity.
Or like pay off all my debt.
Yeah. Well.
Decisions.
You know they're gonna have some debt too, so it's okay.
Yep. All right, next.
Number 5 is Hotel Transylvania 2.
I'm interested.
Yeah.
I heard the first one was pretty good.
Yeah, so I did too.
I haven't seen it, but.
I feel like it's going to be a lot like Monster Squad, but
yes,
like G-rated.
But animated,
but I really want to see it. Yeah, that's why.
I think it'll be fun.
Adam Sandler in something he kind of cares about, that's nifty. That's
yeah,
neat.
It's been years since that's happened.
What
so.
An idea on that.
I feel like Adam Sandler's movies are pretty much, where can I go on vacation?
Yeah.
For free and get paid to do it.
Because he is filthy rich.
Yeah, he is. Happy Madison makes so much money.
It's all right. I heard in Pixels, every scene with Adam Sandler in it, Adam Sandler is just like dead in the face. Just not, looks like he is not having a good time.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny. All right.
I don't blame him, though. I'd be the same way.
Number 4 is.
Next to Peter Dinklage, come on.
Crimson Peak.
I heard it was horrible.
You didn't see it?
Sean and Kentucky went and saw it, and they told me that it was a ghost story where the ghosts were just there and stuff happened around them. They're like, bang, a haunting. But guess what? The ghosts aren't the main point. There's something else, and it's pretty much just drama.
But that,
he said it was bad.
That in and of itself is like, that's the 80s horror, though. That's bringing it back, man. That's like the original horror. That's like what it used to be, like the compelling story around the eeriness and the creepiness. It's definitely different from what you'd see normally.
He says that the ghosts do not like interact with the people. Like they're not like the I don't know how to put it, but he just said like he let him down.
Well, okay. I mean, that's too.
It's valid. It's valid.
I mean, I mean, I'll take his word for it.
No, for sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, take it with a grain of salt. I'd still need to see it.
Yeah, I'll see it too.
I love Guillermo del Toro.
It's basically straight 70% across the board.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing.
Which isn't bad, but it's not good.
That means there's controversy, but there are definitely people that do think it's good because they're holding it up.
But then again, there's always those people that are just going to say it's good because who directed it?
This is the consensus. Crimson Peak offers an engaging, albeit somewhat slight, diversion driven by a delightfully creepy atmosphere and director Guillermo del Toro's brilliant knack for unforgettable visuals. So I guess that kind of falls in line with what they said, but that just wasn't what they were expecting, I guess. So it makes sense as to why they wouldn't like it.
But yeah, maybe we'll get a chance to see that for ourselves. But, you know, there's a lot of other things that we need to watch. Like number three, Bridge of Spies.
Okay. This movie crept up out of the blue, and I didn't even realize it was. I didn't even know it was in production. And this is, I mean, this is Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks, people. Like, come on. This is Steven Spielberg. Steven Spielberg is directing this movie, and Tom Hanks is starring in it. There's no way it can't be awesome. I had no idea it was coming out. I saw a trailer for it the other day, and I realized it came out like the week after. And I was like, how did this fly under my radar for this long? Like, it's ridiculous. It's basically communistic.
I dig it already.
Like, it's PG-13, but it's a lot of the how do you put it? Like the spying and what is that called? What am I looking for? There's a word there.
Espionage.
Espionage. Thank you. Yeah, it's like an espionage movie. So
I dig it.
Yeah, heck yeah.
And I will say I just looked it up, and it looks promising. 8.2 on IMDb, 92% Rotten Tomatoes, 3.5 out of 4 from RogerEbert.com.
Okay, big, yeah. Okay, that's good.
81% Metacritic. Like,
that's very good. Wow, we're going to have to watch that.
Oh, man.
That should be next, that should be next
that
week.
Movie is probably pretty good, actually. But, you know, we can decide that for ourselves. It has not made its budget back yet, but its budget is not that big. Only $40 million.
It also came out at a weird time.
Yeah.
An espionage movie getting dropped 2 weeks before Halloween. Like, that, you know what I mean? It's strange to me.
And I think this movie will persist in the box office for a long time because once it ceases to be October.
Yeah. It's almost Oscar season too, like now.
And it's funny because Spielberg directed it and the Coen brothers wrote it. So it's like
The Coen brothers wrote what?
Ian Joel. Ian,
how do we not know
that? I know. That's what I'm saying.
This is the one thing.
It's just flopped out of nowhere.
We're talking about the Coen brothers. We're talking about Rob Coen and his brother.
No. This is Ethan and Joel.
Okay, good. Because if it was Rob Coen and his brother, I don't want to see it.
Yeah. No, it's Ethan and Joel. Yeah, I don't understand. I literally had no idea like that how that flew underneath my like radar. Because the Coen brothers are the ones who are responsible for Fargo and True Grit, A Brother Where Art Thou, yeah, all those. I mean, they make so many good movies.
Big Lebowski.
Can't even list them. One that I didn't like, Burn After Reading, but that's to each their own, I guess.
Some people do like that
movie. Love it. Some people love it. I don't know. It missed the mark for me.
Number two is The Martian.
Which I need it.
I heard it's really dry. I heard it's really dry. Like
that's exactly what I expected.
Yeah,
the best sci-fi ones are.
Yeah.
Honestly, like you look at Space Odyssey, I mean, it's super slow and super like drawn out. Even like District 9, same thing. Like it's a slow burner. You know what I mean? It puts you in that like whole sci-fi realm. I just think a lot of that.
Yeah, you know,
it's a lot of thought provoking.
You know what you and I say, Tyler? When I hear those people say it's boring, I said, good. I say, good, get out of my movie, you filthy casual movie watcher. I don't want you here with me. I want to enjoy it. I enjoy myself. It's going to be deep, and I'm going to love it, and you're going to hate it, and I say, good.
Donald Glover's in it, too. So they said
I forgot about that.
He plays like a really like quirky like nerd character.
That makes
like,
sense. That's him.
Obviously. He was in Lazarus Effect, too, which I just watched.
How's that?
And it wasn't bad. It was actually pretty cool. They deal with one of the main topics is DMT and how it reacts with your brain and how DMT and like, you know, the like release of it into your system when you die could like have an effect on if you're in heaven or hell.
Have you seen Blade Runner?
No, but I've like.
Have you seen Blade Runner?
Yeah.
So you know, if it's anything like Blade Runner, nothing's gonna happen the whole time, but it's still gonna be awesome.
Exactly. Yes.
Because that's exactly what Blade Runner is. It's just such a slow burn. Like,
But it's just gorgeous.
I definitely want to see Blade Runner.
And ominous.
I mean, I know they just released like the remaster versions a couple years ago.
Yeah, there's like 8 different cuts. The movie was cut 8 different times when it came out. My buddy told me this. I didn't even know it. There's like a director's cut, a master's cut, the final cut. There's all kind of different cuts. And like each way, I guess the movie is changed up a decent amount because Ridley Scott like puts so much into production.
Well, I do agree with you, but I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. I do really want to see The Martian, even if it is dry. But number one, however, is Goosebumps.
Interested.
Yeah.
Highly interested.
Interested, for sure.
Oh, yeah, Jack Black's in it.
Highly interested.
Is that number one?
Yes.
I'm not going to lie, guys. That is the movie that I see being the new age, completely high-budget Monster Squad. That's the one. That is, like, it just seems like the... I mean, obviously, it falls in the Goosebumps, so, like, that's going to have some nostalgia for us. But it just seems like it's over-the-top, just crazy comedy, punch you in the gut, like, immediately, and just, like, ride it out the whole way. So
they're going to try to make it cheesy, too, because it's like, it's Goosebumps. Like,
well, yeah, Goosebumps.
Jack Black's the lead.
Like, Goosebumps yeah. is cheesy.
I was watching, I've been watching the originals on Netflix because they're on, and a lot of them are Canadian, and it's great.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, I didn't know. That's like, they're like a bunch of Canadian and American directors that do it.
And I believe I did read once recently that the R.L. Stein, the author of the Goosebumps movies, said that they believe that comedy and horror exist from the same base reaction, and so they always try to like elicit that kind of thing, where that they're coming from the same source. But
I like that. I can see that. But yeah, I mean, definitely high up there on my to watch list.
Yeah, looks like we got quite a few movies that we need to see. But it is getting to be that time, sadly. We've said our piece over here, over in movie land. Any final thoughts from you, Tyler, or Brian?
Yeah, watch on. Enjoy it, you know. If anybody has seen any movies that they want us to watch, let us know. If anyone's out there listening.
Yeah, call in, please.
Text in,
tweet us.
When we'll be back. We won't. It won't be the scary month. It'll be a different month. But I think when we are watching movies, it will probably still be October. So we may have one more horror movie for you. We might have something else in the mix. You know, only time will tell. Only time will tell. But. Until that point, this has been our time. This is the Ticket Stub. My name is Remy.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Brian.
Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time.